Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to our Maitreya program. The subject of today's program is the theme of the growth of consciousness, and this was explained by Benjamin Creme during a 1992 transmission meditation conference. In fact, two conferences, one in San Francisco and the other in the Netherlands. Throughout the world, there is a growing understanding that humanity is undergoing a profound change in consciousness. This reflects itself in many ways, not least in the efforts being made to explore the nature of consciousness itself, to investigate the connection between consciousness, mind, and brain, and to study the effect of these three may have on matter and the natural world. The old mechanistic views of nature and of the forces at work within her are fast disappearing, and a new awareness is dawning of the unity underlying all manifestation. More and more, the concept that all is energy, that energy and matter are different states of one reality and can be affected by thought, is being accepted on a wide scale and is changing men's and women's view of life.
As we enter the new age, a new urgency is being felt to explore the outer and the subjective worlds and to understand the relation between these two aspects of creation. Many scientists around the world are bending their inquiries in that direction, prompted by their need to demonstrate and prove their intuitive belief that all is interconnected. The acceptance of a superpersonal self also is gradually gaining ground and is leading to a new synthesis in man's view of reality. Eventually, the common ground of all such investigations will exist in the awareness that consciousness is the attribute of the soul, that mind and brain are conduits, vehicles for its manifestation, and that there is no break or separation in the connecting links between them.
Until now, the nervous system has been seen as the pathway for signals, electrical in nature, from the brain. The brain, the command post of that intricate system, initiates the actions and reflexes, mental, emotional, and physical, by which we recognize and demonstrate our livingness. To a limited degree, this, of course, is true. The complex computer of the physical brain does indeed coordinate and organize the multifarious information and stimuli streaming from moment to moment through that sensitive apparatus. However, as understanding grows of the nature and source of consciousness, a truer picture will emerge of the status and function of the brain as the focal point for the infinite variety of impulses reaching it from higher principles. For many, too, the mind is the man. They see themselves through identification as mental beings, capable of thought and action, completely autonomous and separate, whose very existence stems from the ability to think and measure. This, likewise, is but a shadow of the true relationship existing between man and mind. Man's mind is an instrument, a body, more or less sensitive, depending on the person, by which the mental planes can be contacted and known. The plane of mind, the mind belt, is infinite in extent and serves as the conduit for all mental experience. When men realize this, they will understand how telepathy is the natural result of this relationship, and a new era of mutual communication and understanding will begin.
The nervous system will be understood as the connecting link between the soul and its vehicles, the means by which the soul in incarnation grips and demonstrates itself through its reflection. In this way, consciousness, the nature of soul, expands and grows, shedding its light through all the planes, awakening man to his destiny as a son of God. The change of consciousness which is taking place is even more profound than any outer changes in the world might suggest. Obviously, they are necessary, but they are outer. However, the outer is always the reflection of the inner. If inwardly we are distraught, in disharmony with ourselves, with our environment, with our friends, our family, and so on, then the outer forms which we make, what we express, the conditions which moment to moment we create around us will also be in disharmony. They will not have that kind of easefulness, harmless relationship, which is the essence of equilibrium. The more we are in equilibrium, the more our environment is in equilibrium. This is the basis of the need for harmlessness. Through harmlessness, we create the conditions in which we make no negative karma. What holds us back in the expansion of consciousness on our evolutionary journey is precisely negative karma, the weight of our own individual karma. Everything, therefore, that can be done to lighten our karma is an aid towards the completion of our journey to perfection.
The experience of a shift in consciousness, of course, is not new. It occurs at the beginning of every age, as the new energies, this time the energies of Aquarius, make themselves felt in human life. They necessarily affect our consciousness. The first thing to bear in mind, I would say, in this question of changing consciousness, is that it demonstrates itself in concerns. Scientists, philosophers, thinkers of all kinds, teachers, investigators in all fields are now seeking along their own particular paths various means of understanding the nature of reality. That reality is changing under the microscope, under the power of thought, through the individual experience of meditation or whatever, of various thinkers, philosophers and scientists. Modern quantum physics has, I would say, led the way in this and has brought the modern scientific mind to the acceptance of ideas, no longer simply a speculation, which have been the esoteric axioms for countless thousands of years.
The investigation of the nature of consciousness itself is, as the master says, going forward apace. People are beginning to discover that you cannot separate the man looking at the world from the world and from his experience of the world. The inner and the outer, the subject and the object, are closely related. You cannot look at the world except through your own individual sight. The quality of your experience of the world depends absolutely on your conscious awareness. Your conscious awareness depends on the quality of the instrument of awareness, your vehicle, physical, emotional, and mental. The difference between a master and a probationary disciple, for example, is that the master has an apparatus, a vehicle of conscious awareness, which allows him an awareness of vistas of being, of reality, which we cannot even imagine to exist. So far, they beyond our everyday consciousness that we have no opening into them. If you remember that humanity has full consciousness only on the physical plane and imperfect consciousness on the astral plane and only the beginning of consciousness on the mental plane and then only the few, you can see how impossible it is to talk about consciousness in other than very relative terms indeed. Consciousness grows by aspiration towards that which lies above it. But of course we are lazy. This is the hard way, and that is why the path of evolution is slow and long and arduous. The way forward is precisely that of renunciation. Renunciation is another word for detachment.
Detachment is the difficult but absolutely essential process of evolution. It comes about through an expansion of consciousness as the soul grips its vehicle and the realization that we are not this physical body, these emotional reactions, these constructions of our mind. that the true man or woman is that which lies back of these and is using these vehicles for expression. The soul is a reflection of the monad, demonstrating the divinity of God. The path of evolution is a series of at-one-ments, first with the soul, then with the monad and divinity itself, what Maitreya calls the self, the Lord, the absolute. The process is one of detaching, step by step, from identification with the unreal being that which we take to be real, this physical plane world. When the fourth initiation, which is called the Great Renunciation, is taken, we demonstrate our ability to renounce everything, even life itself, because then we realize that we are life, that there is nothing else but life, that we are that one life. Firstly, we renounce the appetites, the apparent needs of the physical body, the emotional reactions of the astral or emotional body, and the constructions, the beliefs, the ideologies, the memories of the mental body, all of that conditioning. The old mechanistic view is that the soul, if it exists, is up there. The mind, us, is somewhere else, and our mind is the man or woman. This concept presupposes separate aspects of reality, but in fact there is no separation. The soul is closely connected with the mind with the brain. It is a unitary mechanism through which the soul can work, demonstrating itself eventually in the most marvellous way.
To many people, the brain is omnipotent. We even say we will one day make computers that are really superior to the human brain. The human brain to most people is the person. It is the brain we think who thinks. It is the brain who knows, who remembers or misremembers. The brain is the all-powerful mechanism directing the whole process of our living experience. This is not true. The brain is but a marvelous, wonderfully sensitive, intricate computer into which is fed all experience coming from the soul through the mental plane. Into this computer, all information is fed, all the reactions of the nervous system of the astral body and of the physical body are likewise fed into the brain. When the body runs out of energy, it gets hungry and sends the message to the brain. The body tells the brain, and the brain tells us to go and get something to eat. We experience cold or heat. The brain tells us, give us the signal, that our body is feeling cold and we need to cover up with an extra blanket.
These are all instinctual reactions by which the animal kingdom has evolved. The nervous system sends signals to the brain, which computes this information from all levels. So the brain is an extraordinary instrument, but it is physical. It pertains only to the physical plane, the physical body, and it dies at death. Using the brain is the thinker. Using the mind is the thinker. We have to find out who that thinker is and identify with the thinker. If we identify more and more with this, so are we imbued with the consciousness of the thinker. And this thinker is the higher man or the soul, the transpersonal self, the ego, whatever you like to call it. As we identify with that higher aspect, we are imbued with its nature. Our consciousness grows and expands. Growth of its consciousness comes about precisely through the awakening of ourselves to identification with that higher aspect. And just want to finish with another quote from this same article. We are living in an era in which what was once magical, mysterious and mystical is now taken for granted as facts in nature. Our modern communications, television, radio, electrical communications through computerization and so on, are leading us to see the interconnectedness of all aspects of life.
Right. Now we have here an article from the Master through Mr. Krem, and it's called The Blueprint of the Divine. We, the elder brothers of the race, stand ready to emerge from our ancient retreats. Already a considerable vanguard have prepared the way. Their presence, albeit unknown to all but a few, has made deep inroads into the ignorance and superstitions which still condition vast numbers of men. Their disciples, men and women of high caliber in the various countries, dispense daily the essence of their teaching. In this way, men are being made ready for the historic days ahead. When the time is right, these disciples will come forward, trained in the ways of the future and by dint of obvious knowledge and integrity, will be elected to positions of influence and power. Thus will it be. Thus will the masters effectively, but under law, work through their representatives in the world. The time of this event draws even nearer. These working disciples, men and women of different nationality and background, have in common a deep love for their brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, an altruistic concern for the good of all, and a proved ability to implement their will and aspiration. They will set in motion the changes which, in gathering momentum, will lay the foundations for the structure of the new age.
Behind the scenes, groups of masters will continue the work of stimulus and teaching until a vast network of educated and inspired disciples has been formed, all dedicated to the task of transforming for the better the ways and ideas of men. Thus, gradually, a new world will be created by man himself, aided by us, your elder brothers and mentors. Thus will the tasks of reconstruction and succor be accomplished under law. Many await this coming time with fear, cognizant of the far-reaching changes which must take place to purify and render harmless the wayward actions of men. When, however, the necessity of change is grasped and understood, the majority will gladly lend their weight to its implementation. When Maitreya appears before the world, the signal will be given for this work to begin. Each will choose his part, large or small, and each will know his contribution is vital to the whole. Thus will men together work for the good of all, and thus together will they find themselves in each other's hearts. Thus will men learn to love and to know the joy of brotherhood and justice. Thus will they demonstrate on every hand the blueprint of the divine.
And that was from April 1998. We've still got time for another article here. I think I'll just read out a message from Maitreya, which was written or given through Mr. Krem in December 14, 1978. My dear friends, I am happy to be with you once more and to share with you my thoughts of man's future. Man has far to go, for man stems from the highest source. Within all men sits a God. That God is your true self. My task will be to release in you that divine being and so complete a divine plan. There is nothing more simple than God, for behind all things rests that divine principle. When man sees this, he will come into his true greatness, and from him then will flow a creative stream. My plan is to show you, step by step, the way to manifest that divine principle and thus lead you to your source. If men accept me, they shall come into the truth of their Godhead, and in the shining raiment of that truth shall stand revealed as God. That promise I do solemnly make. Help me, my friends, to do this work for you. Reveal now the Spirit of God, which already shines within you, and together in truth, let us remake this world.
And that was our program for today. Thank you for listening in. And if you'd like more information, you could check out the website, share-international.org, or you're very welcome to write to us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all. Thank you.